As Brother Ray said, I am Trey Graham, your assistant pastor here at Quail Springs Baptist Church, and I do count it an honor to call you my church family. The year was 2012. Whitney and I had only been married for a few months. It was late October, and I'm not sure exactly why, but we went to Tulsa one Saturday. And while we were there, we probably saw a matinee, probably went out to eat, which is normal for us. We will go on a day date every now and then. But I remember vividly driving home that day, westward towards Oklahoma City on I-44. And I don't know if it was just the perfect time of day, but the sun was setting and it was right in my face, right? You've all experienced that same feeling as you're driving. And it didn't matter if I scooted to the left or to the right or if I put the visor down, somehow or another, the sun would still come through the top. I don't know how it did it, but I couldn't escape those blinding rays of the sun as I was driving. And tonight, the text that we're going to look at, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, is a lot like that trip home from Tulsa. No matter how you look at this text, no matter which angle you take, no matter which translation you use, you cannot avoid the glory and majesty of our great God and King, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful passage, and it's one of the most explicit in all of the New Testament, talking about who Jesus is. The world will tell us that Jesus is a good teacher. It doesn't really matter what stripe you hold. You'll admit Jesus was a good teacher. He had some good things to say. Our society might tell us that Jesus is one way to be religious among many. He's one way to be spiritual among all others. He's one avenue to be like that. Your neighbor might say that Jesus is a myth, that he was just made up by the disciples and a religion sprung up out of that. You may have a family member who tells you that Jesus is great for you, but not so much for me. With all these different pictures out there, all these different portraits of who Jesus is out there, we've got to ask ourselves, church, do we see Jesus as he is? Do we see Jesus as he's been revealed to us in the incarnation and preserved in God's holy word? Church, do you see Jesus as he is? Paul's going to paint us a picture tonight, a true picture of who Jesus is, to the church at Colossae. And he's going to show us that Jesus Christ is supreme over all. That is who Jesus is. Now, the letter to the Colossians was written around the same time as the letter to the Philippians, the letter to the Ephesians, and the letter to Philemon. It was written by Paul from prison in Rome. And most scholars don't think that Paul ever actually visited Colossae, at least not to the point in this letter, wherever he's addressing these churchgoers in Colossae. But he does know about them. He's heard about them. He says, I've heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. But it seems that Paul had also heard about this church and heard that there was some false teaching stirring amongst them. And most scholars think that Paul is writing to correct this Colossian heresy. Now, as is usually the case, and is very similar to 2 John that we just went through, we don't actually know what this false teaching is. We just know that Paul's correcting it. And Paul corrects it a lot of the same way that John does. He corrects it not by telling them what they're doing wrong, but by telling them what is right. By giving them a true picture of who Jesus Christ is. He uses in this argument to paint who Jesus is, starting in verse 15, he quotes a hymn. Now, we know that this is a hymn that was sung in the early church, because in the original Greek, there's a rhythm to it. And whenever it comes to church music, whatever a church sings really tells you a lot about what a church believes. So this would have been a common hymn that Paul is using to support his argument of who Christ Jesus is. And it is a beautiful passage. So as we look at it to begin, we must see that Jesus Christ is God of creation. Let's look at verses 15 through 17. He, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He begins quoting this hymn, stating that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, we know from Genesis chapter 1 that man was made in the image of God. And that's fascinating, and we could have an entire sermon series on that. But what Paul's saying here is even more outstanding. Paul is saying that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Paul wants us to know that when we see Jesus, we see God. And that's foundational to us, church. But that's not all he says. He also says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Now, what that is not saying is that Jesus was the first creature. We know that because just in the next verse, Paul says that all things were created through him. In fact, Paul's making the point that's the opposite, that Jesus isn't a creature, that he's the firstborn of creation. That's a title that Paul is using, a common title for that day. You see, the firstborn had all the authority of the Father. So when he says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, he's already showed us that Jesus is God and he has all the authority of God. And he has this because he created everything. He shows us this in the next verse. Let's read. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Have you ever wondered what your purpose in life is? Paul tells us we were made through Jesus and for Jesus. That gives us great comfort. It gives us great direction to know that the God of creation has given us the purpose of seeing him for who he is. God over all. Jesus Christ is supreme over all. He wraps up this part of the hymn and he says, he is before all things. In him, all things hold together. That's beautiful, isn't it? Paul is making it abundantly clear, leaving no room for guessing, that Jesus is God. You remember in Matthew chapter 16 at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus and the disciples are going along. Jesus asked the disciples the question, who do people say I am? Do you almost feel the pause? Well, some say, the disciples replied, you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then Simon Peter speaks up. He says, you are the Christ, the one that was promised, the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a claim of deity. The Son of God is God. And how does Jesus respond to that? Simon Bar-Jonah, this has not been revealed to you by flesh or blood. No, it's been revealed by my Father in heaven. And let me tell you this, Simon. On that rock, that statement that you just said, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, on that rock I will build my church. And he has. Our church is foundationally built on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. Who do you say Jesus is? How do you see Jesus? Do you see him for who he truly is? Jesus is God of creation, and he is supreme over all. That's important, church. But not only is he God of creation, as this hymn goes forward, we see, and we must see, that Jesus is head of the church. Let's read verses 18 through 20. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Paul here is speaking of the universal church, all believers everywhere across all time. And he describes them as a body. And on that body, there's a head, and that head is Jesus Christ. And that's not an image that's hard for us to figure out. Well, what is a body without a head? It's dead. It has no direction, it has no purpose, and it can accomplish no things. Jesus is the head of the church. This text says that in all things he might be made preeminent. Now, most of us, we don't have a problem making Jesus important. But all too often we struggle to see Jesus as preeminent. Well, what does that mean? Preeminent just means Jesus comes first. That's the most simple way I can say what that means. So for you and for me, in your vocation, Jesus is to come first. In your decision making, Jesus is to be preeminent. He's to come first. In your family, in your finances, in your fun, and in your free time, Jesus is to come first. He's preeminent, not over some things, but all things, because he created all things. The text goes on, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Again, showing his deity. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. This shows the cosmic scope of Jesus' work. Jesus is making all things right. He's reconciling all things by the blood of the cross. We know from Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered the world, things went bad, right? All things are now out of whack. All things are unrest. All things, there is no peace. But Jesus is bringing peace by the blood of the cross. We see the unrest. Right now, Jesus is bringing peace by the blood of the cross through the proclamation of the gospel from his church. Right now, the gospel is being spread amongst the nations. The nations were once blind and unable to see. Jesus has shed the scales from their eyes, and there are millions of people coming to know him by his grace. Praise God. Peace by the blood of the cross. But we also know there are those amongst us and around us and across the globe who are denying Christ Jesus as he truly is. There is still unrest. There is still no peace. We're living between the times. Jesus has already accomplished peace on the cross, but he will finalize this peace when he comes again. Jesus is bringing peace now through mercy and the proclamation from his church. But Jesus will bring peace finally through judgment at his second coming. The blood of the cross is covering all those now who will turn and repent and trust in him. And one day, when Jesus comes, he will judge the living and the dead by the blood of the cross. He will look on them and see their works or his. And he will bring peace. Do you see Jesus as he is? Jesus is the head of the church. And he is supreme over all. But he's not only God of creation, and he's not only head of the church. We must see in this next section that Jesus is the hope of this church. Paul breaks from quoting this hymn, and he speaks directly to the Colossians. He breaks from this hymn and he speaks to this local gathered body. And this is what he says. And you, Colossians, and you, Quail Springs Baptist Church, who were once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard and which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That you is plural, and you. He's gone from this cosmic scope of who Jesus is and what he's done. And now he tells this church, this is what Jesus has done for you, Colossians. And this is what he has done for us, Quail Springs Baptist Church. He tells us of our helpless situation. We were once alienated, separated from him, in need of reconciliation, hostile in mind. We sought out that hostility. It was our doing. And we did evil deeds. But because of him, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you, church, holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Church, we were once alienated, but now we are holy. We were once hostile, but now we are blameless. We were once doing evil deeds, but now we are above reproach. This is the work of Christ Jesus. He has changed us from what we were to who He has made us to be. We were made by Him and through Him and for Him, and this is what He's made us for: to be holy and blameless and above reproach. Verse 23 tells us about the inevitable outcome of Christ's work in our lives. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, in the Christian life, continuance in the faith is a test of the reality of the faith. Those who have been purchased by Christ's blood and who have been changed and brought through reconciliation to right relationship with Him will continue in the faith. They will be steadfast. They will be stable. They won't shift from the hope of the gospel. Now, this hope is not our pastor, is not our church staff, is not our programming or our budget. Those are all good things used for God's kingdom. But our hope, church, is Jesus Christ. Do you see Jesus as He is? He is the hope of this church, and He is supreme over all. Picture with me a beautiful home. On a corner lot, there's a light out in front of their house, a street lamp. You turn and look at the house and you see smoke billowing from it. You start to see flames. You turn around and you see a fire truck there. The lights are on and spinning. And as you stand by, you see all the firemen get out, and they get in a single file line in front of this fire truck, and they watch this house. And it burns, and it burns, and it burns. Those firemen were not fulfilling their purpose. They watched the flames, they didn't put them out. Church, can I tell you, that's a picture of anyone and anything who isn't seeing Jesus as He is. You are missing your purpose. Don't miss your purpose, church. Do you see Jesus as He is? Do you see Him as God of creation, as head of the church, and as the hope of this church? We must see Jesus as supreme over all. That is who Jesus is. Some of you tonight came in and were confronted with this picture, and you realize that you've been giving Jesus prominence but not preeminence. You really haven't been looking at Him as the priority in all things. You really didn't see Him as the God that He is. And tonight you need to repent of that. Look to Jesus. Find reconciliation at the cross. Some of you came in hostile in mind, alienated. You didn't know it when you came in, but you knew you needed something. And when you heard about who Jesus is, you said, "That is the answer." Listen, if that's you, in a moment after I pray, there will be ministers down front who would love to help you. There is reconciliation at the cross. We must consider ourselves. Is Jesus preeminent? Do we see Him as supreme over all? Let's pray. Father God, I come to You now. I thank You for this opportunity to reflect on who You are. I thank You for Your Son who is making all things right. Lord, I pray that you would do a work amongst your people, that they would see you as you are and would respond appropriately. I pray your grace would fall over this place this evening, that your Holy Spirit would work. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.